Hey everybody, this is Chris coming at you before the Cavs play Game 4 in Cleveland against Golden State. But I can't wait for the game, and I'm sure everybody's got some great plans for it, watching with friends, maybe even being there. But on Monday, if you don't have plans, there's going to be an exclusive C4 podcast teaming up with the live comedy show at the Stone Tavern in Kent. We're going to have a live show beforehand. There's going to be the regular stand-up show, and we're going to watch the game with live commentary so you don't have to hear Jeff Van Gundy talk about what clues he read in the crossword puzzle and hear Mark Jackson cry about why he can't get hired again as a head coach in the NBA. It's totally free. I have stuff to give away. There's going to be prizes for Cavs trivia. We're going to do all kinds of different stuff, and it's going to be a lot of fun. It'll just be like a big, huge party with a bunch of funny friends, and it's going to be a great time. So come on out Monday, June 13th at the Stone Tavern, 8 p.m. for a comedy show / C4 podcast / live Cavs watch party. It's going to be a great time, and I hope you come out. Now, onto the episode where I talk to my friend, comedian from Atlanta, formerly from Cleveland, Ben Palmer. I think we touch on a lot of good subjects before the game, and I hope you enjoy it. Thanks for listening. Joining me right now on the phone line is Ben Palmer, a comedian, a loyal Cleveland sports fan, and a self-professed LeBron lover. How you doing, Ben?
I'm doing good, Chris.
Yeah, are you excited for the game tonight?
Yeah, I'm very excited, especially because it's at home.
Yeah, it seems like they're a completely different team when they're playing at home. Did you watch Game 3?
I did. It was like watching a different team. They had a bounce in their step, and they were all over the place defensively. LeBron was driving to the hole. He actually looked like a better dribbler, too. It looked like it was Kyrie gave LeBron his dribbling skills for the game. It was crazy. LeBron was like doing crossovers and step backs. His footwork was really nice.
Yeah, that's true, and he was actually finishing the jumpers, which made it even more impressive because his mid-range game has been gone all season.
Yeah, which is weird because, you know, LeBron's always had a pretty good mid-range game. It's just when he steps too far out, that's when his percentages start to drop.
Yeah, I mean, he's never been a great three-point shooter, but like you said, he used to be money from 15 to 22 feet, and it's just not really been there all year. So if he can rediscover that jump shot, it makes it a completely different game.
Yeah. You remember when they played Detroit in the Eastern Conference Finals, and I believe it was Game 5, it is at the Palace, and LeBron scored 29 of the last 30?
Oh, I can't forget that. That was amazing, yeah.
Those were all like step back fadeaways, and they were all pretty much like just a little bit outside the three or underneath it, and he was just on.
Yeah, you're right. He only had like one dunk in that entire sequence there, maybe two, because I think he had one off a pretty nifty behind the back pass from Z, which I loved coming from the center to the forward. But it was mostly, like you said, yeah, all jumpers.
Yeah, he had one of the big dunks he had was when he threw it down and Tayshaun Prince in the replay looking like he just wants to get out of the way.
That was the first of a long line of supposed LeBron stoppers that never really panned out.
Who were the others?
Well, you know, last year they said that Iguodala would be a LeBron stopper. That didn't really work. I mean, they stopped the rest of the team, but they couldn't really control LeBron. It's always a guy who's like, you know, like Trevor Ariza's body type, who they think is going to be as quick and a little bit longer, but there's never been anybody that guards him that has the level of strength that he has.
Right. Yeah, he's unguardable.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the one thing that would have been a lot different if they played the Thunder is that when Durant's matched up on him, he's longer than LeBron, and he's as athletic, but his strength just can't compare. And I think that was one of the reasons why it works so good with him guarding Draymond Green, is because he literally does everything Draymond Green does, but he does it with a level of athleticism and strength that Green can't match.
Right. Yeah, Draymond can't guard him either. Iggy, you know, if they say he was a LeBron stopper, then they should look at those stats from last year's finals. LeBron put up what? Didn't he average 38 a game?
Yeah, it was near 40 every single night. In a triple-double, yeah.
Grabbing rebounds. 22,
yeah, exactly. He was grabbing every rebound, creating every shot. Like, guys were just, Dele was just a set-up three-point shooter, and he was able to do that because LeBron had basically sucked in the entire Warriors defense. And this actually makes me think of something I wanted to ask you. When you were watching the finals last year, I don't want to know if you felt like I did. I felt like it was sliding down like hill. Every time the Cavs won, it was just like trying to hold back the ocean and there was no way to stop. But I felt a lot better about watching the Cavs win game three, and like they might actually have a shot if they could win tonight. How were your feelings about that?
Yeah, I mean, you could just look at the score as to indicate the reason, or to reflect why you feel that way, because I don't think we ever beat them by 30 last year. I don't think we ever kicked their ass.
Yeah,
we never kicked their ass. We squeezed by.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a good point. It was always like just holding on for dear life.
Right. And then we just ran out. I mean, after one of the wins, Dellavedova went to the hospital.
Oh, yeah, that's true. He had to get IVs with fluid. Full body cramp.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely a different team, and we're definitely more capable of winning. I'm just not 100% sure if we will. But I know that it's possible, especially now that you see that they just beat them by 30, and then they could beat them bad, just like they can beat all the other NBA teams bad when they come to home. But we'll see.
Yeah.
I believe we'll get a win tonight.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. You think they're going to pull it off tonight? Because I think if they win tonight, it could theoretically, obviously this is like a hack thing to say, but it really would change the entire outlook of the series, because then this is the second series in a row that the Warriors are expected to roll through that got tighter than anticipated early.
Yeah, they're going to win tonight. They're not going to lose at home. But because, I mean, my logic says Toronto beat us twice at their place, so we can beat Golden State twice at our place. Now, the questions really begin in Game 5, though. I think we can definitely win tonight, but after tonight, it's a three-game series again with two at Golden State, and that's where it's like, all right, can we do this?
Yeah, that's pretty much exactly how I feel. It's going to be almost impossible to beat Golden State 2 out of 3, but if they win tonight, and if they win by, say, 10 points again, I feel... Not that I believe in momentum, because in basketball, especially when you play a team that shoots this good, it can go away in a heartbeat. But I do feel like if they can win tonight by a decent margin, and they make a good showing in game 5 and they win at game 6, game 7 is more open than I expected it to be, which is a lot of hypotheticals to throw out there.
Yeah. Believe it or not, at first I'm like, you know, we have to win game 5. If we don't, it's over, which may end up happening. But I think there's a chance that we could lose at game 5 and come back and beat them again at our place, game 6. And I think there's a chance we could finally knock them off in game 7.
I agree. I don't think they've really faced that kind of pressure in the game 7. Even last series, they had won 2 in a row at that point, and Oklahoma collapsed in game 6.
Yeah. At their own court, at home.
Yeah.
They just started, like, throwing the ball away. It was bad.
I don't even understand how that happened.
I don't either. I think they ran out of gas. I think they got tired.
Yeah, that could be. They're a very top-heavy team.
Right. They just relied on, like, 6-7 guys.
So...
How do you feel about Kevin Love coming back?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Personally, I think they're, statistically speaking, they're a much better team with him playing, but I do recognize that the way that the Warriors set things up, he's got a hard time on defense. And I read a column by Zach Lowe on ESPN. He said the problem isn't that Love is bad at defense. The problem isn't that Kyrie Irving is bad at defense, because he said against 28 teams in the league, it doesn't matter. They can still take advantage of it. But against the Warriors, the way they attack you so hard, you can't have two guys that are that bad on defense on the floor at the same time, which makes sense why at times this season the Cavs have played a lot better with either Love out or Irving out. Specifically thinking of the game against Oklahoma City where Love had like 30-some points and Irving didn't play and the Cavs looked great. It seems like, you know, they both can't play good defense, so you got to pick your poison. And I do think maybe it would help to bring him off the bench. The only concern I have about that is that Kevin Love is reportedly very fragile emotionally. And what good would it do to have this guy try to score 20 points off the bench in like 25 minutes if his confidence is shot?
Yeah. Well, I feel like our championship comes first and Kevin Love's emotions come second.
Oh, I agree 100%. I just, he could be a big help, you know, coming off the bench. It just, I hope he's like mentally accepted, like, hey, look, this works against almost every team in the NBA, but it's not working against this team. We got to do something about it.
He's got to be. I mean, if he's a professional, he will, and he won't say anything about it, and he'll do it right, which he should, and it might make us a better team, because I think maybe if you throw him in there when Golden State brings in their second string big men, you know, maybe when Festus Ezeli comes in, or like maybe when Draymond sits, then you can play Kevin Love more because he's not going to be getting exposed down the middle as much.
Yeah, I mean, he's no shot blocker, and when the Cavs get penetration against them, he's just pretty much useless.
Yeah. I don't understand how he's so bad at defense, but he can rebound so well. Like, when he grabs rebounds, I see him getting really high in the air, and his hands are really good. But why can't he block shots?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know if it's like an initial burst or what, because, you know, he's boxing out pretty hard on the rebounds, and he just doesn't have those quick ups, or it's just a matter of I've never done it before, and I've been in the league for 6 years, and I'm not changing now.
Yeah, is that a mental thing? Is he just not there mentally on defense?
I think, I mean, the worst part about his thing is, like, he's never had to play defense. And you can make somebody who's a bad defender a passable defender. But the problem is they've had so many changes with coaching and in and out that, you know, a lot of times you see him trying. He's not shot blocking, but he's really trying and moving around on defense and fighting. And then other times he just looks lost, like he has never seen this scheme before and he doesn't know where he's supposed to go.
Yeah. Yeah, we can't have that in the finals, man. Just sit your ass down, Kevin.
And he wrote an article last summer when he re-signed where he said he wanted to be on the Cavs and he'll do anything to win a championship, even if it just means sweeping up the floor after practice. So it's time for you to yeah, he wrote an article on the Players Tribune. And he said, even if it just means being a janitor, I'll do it.
Man, well, that's it. There you go. Now, that's the attitude that's going to help us the most, man, because I think, yeah, if we come in and we got the second unit and say, like, Kyrie comes off, LeBron comes off, and now we're only down to like one primary offensive weapon, then we can use Kevin Love.
Yeah, I mean, not that he finished all of them, but he was having a lot of success getting really good close to the basket looks on the post up and drawing a double team each time. It's just a matter of hitting those shots when he kicks it back out.
Yeah. So what do you think the Cavs are going to do? When, and I believe this is going to happen, if not this next game, it'll happen game 5, when Golden State starts going to the lineup of Draymond at center, Iggy at 4, Harrison Barnes at 3, Clay and Steph.
Well, I think your only option there is not to match them by trying to outscore them, but just match them by putting the most capable defender you can at each spot. I mean, Thompson and Love, neither of those guys are playing in that spot, I think. You put put LeBron at five on Green. Last game, it seemed like Green couldn't handle anything. He went from being the best player on the court in game two to doing nothing in game three. And I think it's solely because LeBron was guarding him. And then, you know, Irving, Smith, Shumpert, and then, you know, Delly or Richard Jefferson, and LeBron, obviously.
Yeah, see, so we got like a legitimate counter to that this year, but last year that wasn't available to us.
No, last year they had six active or healthy players during the finals, besides like the old guys who weren't playing at all, like Marion and Miller and stuff.
Yeah. Six compared to the nine that we have this year. And not to mention one of those six guys. Who are you counting as the six? Are you counting Shumpert?
Last year? It was LeBron, Delly, Shumpert, J.R. Smith, Thompson, and maybe it was only five. Who else was playing last year?
Mozgov. Did you count Mozgov?
Mozgov. There you go. Yeah, six right there.
So that's six. But then Shumpert had a bad shoulder, although I think he still like put in some good work anyway. And then Delly got dehydrated.
Yeah, I mean, that's really when Shumpert's shoulder got real bad and Delly went to the hospital. That, more than anything else, really was the difference between the way they competed in the first four games or the first three games and the last three games.
Yeah, Delly was basically out of the game the next game. I remember they just barely played him. And it was like, damn, because we needed him bad.
Yeah. He had been like the second best player in the finals up to that point on the Cavs anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. This year we got a squad, man. I think Kevin Love getting hurt is honestly a blessing in disguise. And if they weren't going to switch LeBron onto Draymond Green before then they were stupid. They probably were going to eventually. But, sometimes injuries can be a blessing because you don't have to be like, hey, we're benching you for bad play. We can just be like, oh, well, we're just going to ease you back in slowly. And then,
yeah.
And then it's just not so hard on the players, not so awkward.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the fact that he was out caused Ty Lue to switch up the way they were playing defense to something he should have done before, which was not trying to switch every single screen. Because there was plays in the first two games where Love ended up getting switched because they knew the Cavs were switching every time, so they just ran a screen until Love was switched out onto Clay or Steph, and they weren't shooting that good in the first game, so it didn't really matter. But in the second game, that was when the lead started going in the first half, because they would just be like, oh, okay, Love's on the floor, and they're switching everything, so we're just going to keep screening him until he's left alone with the three-point shooter.
Yeah.
When everybody's small, that doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all about switches. That shit makes a big difference.
And the Cavs aren't long enough defensively to do what Oklahoma City does, which was just stay at home and try to disrupt the passing lane. So Ty Lue made an adjustment in game three. I think Steve Kerr is going to make an adjustment tonight. So just is up to the Cavs to figure it out before the game gets out of hand, because game one, they had a chance to win the game in the end of the third quarter, and it all fell apart. And that's going to come back to haunt them if they don't end up winning this, when they lose the series. So they need to figure it out tonight, and then don't even worry about the rest of the games. Just figure out whatever mismatches there are or counters that Kerr's doing and get it done.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they just, like Draymond Green said, he was like, the Cavs didn't make any X and O adjustments. They just played with better energy. And he's wrong, because we did make adjustments on like
the season.
But I mean, I feel like at home they just play with more energy, and if we can still keep that edge, LeBron keeps playing angry, I think we'll take care of them. We're going to be too much to stop. I mean, us at home with the talent we have, if we're on, it's tough to stop. I think we'll be fine tonight.
And look at J.R. Smith. That was night and day between the first two games and third. I think you're right. When they're at home, they got it, and they're going to come out with more energy. I don't think they're going to win by 30, but I do think they're going to win tonight.
Yeah. I'm hoping – did you hear what Phil Jackson said?
No.
he was like, after the second game, he was like, you know, when we played in the finals one year, there were some reports that leaked about Michael Jordan going to play in Vegas after practice. And Michael Jordan got really pissed after that, and he didn't like that. And then he said from that point on, he played like a man possessed. And he was like, maybe something like that needs to happen with LeBron. LeBron actually heard about that. Like, they asked LeBron about that. And, you know, he was basically just saying, no, I'm not Michael Jordan. I am what I am. But if you watch how he played, I would agree that he looked like playing like a man possessed on game three.
That alley-oop alone was something I haven't seen in a while from him.
That was amazing. That was a complete play from one end of the floor to the other.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't even think about it from that perspective on the steal. And that almost went, they almost didn't have control of the ball for a second there. He was much more active and aggressive. You're right. And I know it's cliche to be like, oh, their effort was better, but LeBron was moving around and going for things, like you said, like he was a man possessed, and maybe he's just taking it personal now and he's sick of Steph Curry. So that could be the best thing for the Cavs.
This generation's players have always been so like cool and chummy with each other and like, yeah, let's be friends because we're going to be on the same Olympic team or we're going to have a shoe deal together or blah, blah. But this is like one of those, it's starting to become one of those rivalries where you can tell LeBron is just kind of like unsettled by all the Steph Curry hype.
Yeah, this is the first guy whose popularity and like fame has eclipsed him. He, you know, he's not Dwayne Wade or Carmelo, who's clearly less popular. Steph Curry is like making noise and getting these weird Brita water filter commercials and stuff.
it's Buzz Lightyear and Woody, man. It really is. But the one play that made me be like, yes, that is what I want to see, was when there was a dead ball and Steph Curry tried to pick it up and go for some little layup. And LeBron got picked.
That was so awesome because he wasn't even, the ball was dead and he wasn't even barely paying attention. As soon as he realized that, he just hopped and was like, no, get that out of here. And I think you're right when you said he's possessed now, because that's the kind of stuff that Kevin Garnett used to do to try to fuck with people's minds when they try to shoot layups afterwards, just be like, I'm always here. And LeBron has never been that kind of aggressive, and the fact that he was doing that like a bully, I love it.
I love it too. I saw about that Kevin Garnett. He had like a collection of those. He would just swat it away every time. It's hilarious. But, you know, maybe LeBron's competitors, some of his greatest competitors, are starting to like really rub off on him. Because Kevin Garnett was like one of LeBron's biggest competitors for a while.
Yeah, you're right. And I think you also hit on something when you said this isn't buddy-buddy and this is like somebody he actually dislikes and it's another generation. Steph Curry is the generation of guys who are like sweeping LeBron and his clique out of the NBA and into irrelevancy. And this is LeBron saying, I'm still here. Like last year after the finals when they lost, he said, I'm still the best player in the world and it makes me very confident. And he's showing it.
Yeah. That was that he said that before they lost, which
you're right.
Yeah. It was like, it reminds me of like something they say in The Art of War. They're like, the man who steps forward first intends to retreat. That was like LeBron's like last cry for like to pound his chest before he ended up losing. Cause I think he knew deep down that they weren't going to be able to beat him.
I would hope so. At that point.
But yeah, I try to watch like these interviews and see if I can pick up any clues. I did notice Steph Curry, LeBron is kind of in Steph Curry's head a little bit because he said that all that talk annoys him. So that was like a good sign. I was like, all right, cool.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, that made me think, okay, good. He's annoyed. So he has some sort of like emotional connection to it.
Yeah, if he's saying it out loud, it's affecting him.
Exactly. And we need that, you know, that's good for us to have as opposed to like just calm and deadly Steph Curry.
Yeah, that's true. The more out of sync he is, the best, the more the odds for the Cavs increase.
Yeah. It's surprising how he hasn't really scored that much. I know they say Irving's a bad defender, but so far so good, right? Or is it just a team defense thing?
No, I agree. Irving is a bad defender, but unlike Love, he's got plenty of foot speed, so he should be a better defender. And I think it's more just he's motivated, right? I thought he should have played better the first two games because this is his chance to show how good he is against the guy who just won the first ever unanimous MVP award. And game three, Kyrie finally looked like he had that swagger back. Maybe it was just coming home, but he looked like he was ready to attack and be like, this guy's a chump. He can't guard me, and I'm going to prove it.
Right. Yeah, man, because, I mean, coming into the league, Kyrie and Steph were, like, on the same level. They've been on the same level for a minute, and then over the last couple of years is when Steph broke away.
Yeah, exactly. All the negative things they say about Kyrie now, they were saying about Steph 2 years ago.
Boy, he shook Steph, man. He shook him a couple times. That one play, Steph, like, his whole body was pointed in the opposite direction where Kyrie Irving was going.
Oh, yeah, that was great. Let's see. I hope there's more. I'd break his fragile ankles. Maybe his Steph Curry will slip on some water and his knee will get broken again.
What if Kyrie crosses him so hard that his MCL goes and then that?
They just have to get a stretcher out there.
That becomes like the Michael Jordan shot for us.
That would be, honestly, now that you just brought that up and I can see it in my head, if that doesn't happen, I'm going to be upset. I mean, that's when the recurrence of injuries happen, is when it, even if it's healthy, when it's happened that recently, that's the best shot. So keep crossing him, Kyrie.
That's why, yeah, I mean, I thought the Warriors were down and out when they were going against the Thunder because I'm like, you know, Steph didn't look the same. He was playing a little slower. He didn't have a burst. And I'm thinking, this is it. They're done because he still hasn't really come back fully from that injury.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. I mean, you don't need a good knee to shoot.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, his jumper was there. But I was watching some of his drives to the basket, and I was like, I don't know if it's just me, but it looks like he's not moving as quick.
No, in game five against Oklahoma City, when he was having real hard time finishing in the basket and getting any separation, I thought for sure it was over.
Yeah.
But here they are, and it's the finals, and they're up 2-1.
Yeah. Hey, man, you know, these two games, I know they're at home, and it's like, oh, well, they're just at home. They still got to play them. But they could really unlock something. Some advantage that they didn't realize they had. Some more tools, some more matchups, energy, motivation that they can carry over to game five and use and perhaps win.
I agree. You know, that win in game three was a lot different than when the Raptors won in Toronto because they won, but it wasn't like the Cavs were completely out of it at any point. This was a straight ass whipping. And like you said, maybe they figure something out. They can win tonight. They realize where they got an advantage, and they go and win game five. And then you never know what's going to happen. It's a lot less bleak than it was Wednesday morning.
Yeah. It was looking rough. Did you see that video of LeBron in the locker room with his teammates?
Yeah.
The one where he's like, y'all trash!
Yeah, the guy, I'm going back to Miami.
LeBron, where are you going? To Miami?
I love that there was only four guys, so like the fourth guy had to play every random character.
Yeah, one guy had to be like Kevin Love and Tyronn Lue or something.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I'm the coach. I'm the coach.
New coach, LeBron James. That video, I think Cleveland needed that video because I was like, I was laughing at that shit. I watched that like five times that day. I needed that.
Yeah, me too. It was good to just forget about it and laugh because that was pretty funny. I don't even know who those guys are.
Maybe that will be the video LeBron watched, and that will be the equivalent of Michael Jordan reading about the press saying that he went to Vegas during practice.
It's perfect. 20 years later, he doesn't read anything in the newspaper. He just watches a viral video and gets the same motivation.
You know it. You know that's entirely possible.
It's very possible. I'm sure he's watching everything that's said about him based on things he said in interviews before.
Yeah. Yeah, he likes to read that stuff. He likes to be paying attention. But, well, fucking go Cavs, man.
Yeah, let's hope they pull it out, and thanks for coming on.
Yeah. Cavs in six. I need them to win in six. Because if they win in seven, I won't know for over 10 days.
Oh, that's right. You're going to be in the wilderness that whole time.
Yeah, June 18th, I'll be on a canoe and with no access to internet, nothing for 10 days.
That's
so if they win in seven, Cleveland could be burning while I'm canoeing.
You just come back and you see the news and your phone explodes. Just riots. Cleveland could be burning either way if it goes to a game seven.
And I'm going to start calling a friend in Cleveland to see who won, and then somebody next to me is going to be like, oh, you didn't hear, man? Cleveland's gone.
The Republican National Convention is canceled.
That's right. That's going to happen too, right? Game six, right?
Yeah. It's coming up.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah, we're going to kick Trump and Steph Curry's ass.
There's no, you know, you said it perfectly. There's no better note to end. Cleveland is going to kick Donald Trump and Steph Curry's ass.
Hell yeah, man.
All right. Thanks, Ben. Chris Clem's Cavs Cast is brought to you by Chris Clem. The Cleveland Cavaliers do not support, endorse, or in any way approve of this podcast. If you'd like to get a hold of us, our phone number is 330-822-2296. Or you can email me at c4podcast@chrisclem.net. Thanks for listening. Yeah.